about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. I've just decided to switch our Friday schedule to Monday, which means that the tests we take each Friday on what we learn during the week will now take place on Monday before we've learned it. But since the day is Tuesday, it doesn't matter in the slightest. Pencils ready.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Did you ever have something that you really loved? That you accidentally killed or hurt in some way? With a machete?
No!
No, me neither. Wouldn't that be terrible, though?
How would you live with yourself?
I know, right? Exactly.
I'm just full of number ones. So it's better than being number two. Or going number two.
She's either playing dumb or just is.
And now.
Maybe I'm not selling the excitement of what's happening today, but see if this helps.
This. Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 17th of January.
What's up, you guys?
What is happening?
How was everybody's weekend?
Great.
Delightful.
Yours? Pretty low-key. Still no wife.
Wow, you went low-key this weekend.
I did go low-key.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, you know how it is. At some point, you have to give your body time to recover.
Sure.
You can't party like that every weekend.
Mm-mm. Right.
Once in 20, you've got to just say, oh, time to sober up.
Sure, of course.
So, so there wasn't a lot of partying.
What if Bean started really drinking hard now that he's in New Orleans? Just one night he goes out and he has something and it's just from that point on.
It just flips the switch.
On full
speed
ahead.
And I had no idea what I was missing.
Yes.
Oh, that'd be so great.
I was like, you guys, you got to try it. Alcohol, it's the best.
And still no wife you mentioned. Yeah, how's that going?
You know, I anticipate a return.
Yeah, but, that's cute.
You think I'm fooling myself?
Well, I mean,
look,
only yes.
Here's the thing. I don't really want to get into this, but here's the thing. So we moved over 4 months.
Define
ago.
We.
She was with me in the car on the drive out.
I see.
So at least at one point I can place her here. She was in this city. Okay. So we moved, and she visits Seattle a lot.
Right.
And stays a while.
Right.
So at some point I anticipate she will come back. But
have you had a conversation where you say, hey, something like this, hey, are you coming back?
Well,
hey, do you still love me?
She doesn't.
Are we still a couple?
She doesn't pick up when I call. So, but I'm sure she would say, of course, I'm just very busy over here in Seattle with my new family. And at some point I'll be back. But
another family.
That's my fear.
That'd be pretty sweet.
But because he went to bed early, she would just hop on that ferry. She was back.
I just didn't know about it.
Wow.
Yeah,
he's got like 14 kids.
So a lot is being revealed right now, I think.
Wow!
But she seems to visit back there a lot. I really don't.
Uh-huh. Right?
I'm fine to live here.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So anyway, it was
I feel like here's my read on it. Wherever you are,
uh-huh.
She's someplace else.
It is interesting. It is very interesting
not
that you bring
in
that
the
up.
Same location.
I am seeing a pattern
as you.
Huh.
Hey, can I talk about a thing real quick before we move on? Because I know
sure.
we have a very busy Kevin.
I've been looking forward to a thing all weekend.
Well, I'm sure you've been looking forward to this thing because it was announced yesterday. The joint statement from the governments of China, Australia, and Malaysia have announced they are no longer looking for the plane. They have given up their search
for
Malaysian Airlines 370, which vanished almost 3 years ago now. March 8th, 2014, with 239 people on board. They just said, we're out of ideas. We're out of resources. We covered 46,000 square miles. We followed every lead there was. We just have no idea where to go or what to do next. So they have suspended the search.
How do you lose a plane?
That's what a lot of people, including the friends and family members of the more than 200 people on the plane, have said. Hey, we're still kind of waiting for an answer here as to what happened.
Right.
How do you lose a plane in the most connected time in human history with all of the equipment that's out there and all of the safeguards in aviation? How does a plane drop out of the sky and they never find it?
What do you guys think?
Well, it's not that I haven't given this a lot of thought over the years.
Sure, sure. I know. So, I know.
He's been obsessed with it.
I will say that, look, we may never know. I think they will find the plane. Look how long it took them to find the Titanic. I mean, it took almost 75 years for them to find the Titanic after it sank, okay? So I think at some point
they're going to find it. But you can't hold on that long.
Yeah, I hope it happens in my lifetime. But I also think at this point it is unlikely that even if they were to find all of the wreckage that they're going to be able to figure out what happened. Don't you?
Does any part of you believe that that plane landed somewhere safely?
No.
To a hidden location?
No.
And those people are being reprogrammed?
I enjoy a walk down conspiracy alley all the time.
No,
but
no.
There's no way for a number of reasons, not the least of which
Give me two.
All right. What do those hundreds of people do all these years later where none of them are spotted or heard from?
They've been reprogrammed.
Hello?
That was part of the explanation.
Everyone has a twin. Oh, right? No, but I think you're my mom, Betty. Nope, my name's Sally. See? It's that easy.
You have the same birthmark and tattoos as my mom, though.
Yeah, get away from me, kid. See?
Yeah. So I think that's thing one is it would be impossible to hide something like that.
Okay.
And thing two is they have found parts of the plane. They have found, although who knows, they could have chopped it up and then
just thrown it out in the water,
I guess.
Right.
I do remember at the time as the investigation was unfolding that I thought there was something very suspicious about the pilot, because what pilot has a flight simulator in his home? And it seemed to me like he was plotting something, like that dude was up to no good.
Hmm.
But there's no indication that was the case. Everything checked out with him. It didn't seem like he was that
okay.
kind of dude.
But you're still looking at him.
No, I'm saying at first.
With the stink eye.
At first. But then when it was revealed, and I don't know how they figured this out. I don't remember now. But then when it was revealed that the plane apparently had traveled hundreds of miles after everybody on board was incapacitated, they think it might have been a fire or a lack of air pressure or something like that, that everybody had passed out on the plane and it was just a ghost plane going through the air.
Sweet.
See, these are the mysteries that we may never know the answer to, which is...
Well, it's good that they gave up. It's good that they're just like, we're done. We're out. I mean, seriously,
you know
that's
what?
insane to me.
We gave it 3 years.
But what could they do if they've got no further leads? Do they just keep widening the path of where they search?
I watch SVU. Something comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Who's with me? Right?
I mean, I feel like if anybody knew anything or had any further leads at this point, they'd go for it.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not the type of person who would need to get this answer and see the body if my person was on the plane.
No, you're a person who doesn't have any connection to the plane and you can't let go.
Yes, but I'm saying if I understand why there are...
If he did, he could let go.
Right, yeah. If he had a relative on there, it'd be fine.
Right, I'd be cool with that, yeah. But I'm just saying, for a lot of those people, I bet this is a real tough thing to wake up to. That's all I'm saying. That's tough news that, hey, we gave up. Hey, remember your parents?
Right.
Never
going to
know.
Except she's going by Sally.
It could be. Could be going by Sally.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Dish Girlfriend.
We have tickets for 21 Pilots sold out at the Honda Center.
How about that?
How about that? It's coming up this morning. We have the Bachelor Report.
I didn't watch The Bachelor last night, but I understand there was vomit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't see the vomiting part, but I saw some of it.
Okay.
And it's
the greatest goddamn show on television.
Really
great
is.
Review.
I mean, right?
Right?
I can't wait to hear that. It's 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock with Ralph and Petrus. I can't wait.
Harvey Levin from TMZ, like we do on Mondays, although it's Tuesday today. And we have Beer Mug at the Tough Mudder.
Oh.
Muggs was almost dead.
Yeah.
Was it Friday?
Oh, my.
I think he got hurt pretty bad. Yeah.
Yeah. We're not positive exactly what happened. We wanted him to wait and tell us on the air, but took him like an hour to walk across the office, which is about 9 feet. We're going to talk to Andrew Siciliano about the NFL playoff weekend.
And what a weekend it was.
What a weekend it was.
Well, Sunday.
Yeah, Saturday.
Saturday was blowouts, but Sunday were two amazing games.
And you failed your driving test. We're going to
maybe multiple times.
Maybe. Certain people may have.
Kevin.
We'll take your calls coming up on that. We'll take a break right now, and we'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:55.
Hey, Ruff Garman.
Hey!
What's going on, man?
Stuff!
How was your weekend?
Oh, kidding me?
I don't feel like that's an answer.
Oh, it was busy. Busy weekend. Busy. Glad to come back to work so I can just relax and relax, rest. And
get some rest.
Just kick back. Oh, weekend was exhausting. It was the weekend, and as we do on a Monday morning, we take a look at the weekend's box office here on the Showbiz Beat. So let's take a look. Number one, Hidden Figures with $26 million this weekend.
Anyone see that yet?
Did not.
Looks good.
Does look good.
Sing came in at number two. A lot of kids in the theaters over the holiday weekend. $19.2 million. Made it number two. La La Land was third. Then Rogue One and The Bye Bye Man. Don't think it. Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't think it. The Bye Bye Man. He will come and he will kick the Candyman's ass and then they'll both beat up Beetlejuice. So don't say anybody's name that makes them show up, ever.
I'd see that.
His or the real one?
His.
Okay.
Oh, my, sure, yeah. Kevin's movie Monster Trucks opened up at 6. It debuted with $15 million. How was that, Kevin? How was Monster Trucks?
Really good.
Did you like it?
It was a little slow in the middle, but was then it picked up at the end. Really got a
Patriots
steam.
Day was 7th. Sleepless, the new Jamie Foxx film, was 8th. Underworld, Blood Wars, and Passengers were your top 10 movies at the box office. Turns out Tom Hardy is very superstitious. He will not talk about a role that he wants publicly. Such is the case.
Because he thinks he'll jinx it?
Yes. Uh-oh. With a little role called 007. His name has been bandied about as the next James Bond, filling in for Daniel Craig, who apparently is out. He was asked by a reporter over the weekend about the role. He said, if I mention it, it's gone. So he said he will not talk about the possibility of playing James Bond 007. Sounds like he really wants it badly.
It sure does.
It's like his bye-bye man.
Hey, has Daniel Craig...
No, the opposite. If you say bye-bye man, he shows up. He's
it's
saying
the
if
opposite.
You mention... That's what I just said.
Yeah, so he should say it.
All right, ignoring her.
I wish I could. She's right here all the time.
Has Daniel
she
Craig...
sits there being there.
Yeah, she is. She's very present. Has Daniel Craig come out and said, I don't want to do it anymore? Or are we still speculating?
All indicators point to no. He will not return. Okay. Everything that we know leans that way. So names have been bandied about. Tom Hiddleston, of course, has been talked about taking over the role. Idris Elba's name. James Norton. And wait for it, David Beckham have all been mentioned as taking over the role. That'd be the best Bond ever.
Yes, I'd like a martini shake and not stirred. And stop it, evil Spectre. You must put down all your weapons and stop terrorizing the world.
Ow, my ankle! Ugh, what a lightweight, right? Who's with me?
Yes.
Thank you.
Plus, you know, not being an actor.
Sure.
There's that.
Oh, sad news for the big inaugural lineup for President-elect Donald Trump. The Bruce Springsteen tribute band, the B Street Band, has pulled out.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
No, it's true.
It didn't happen.
It did happen, Donald.
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster.
Yeah, the B Street Band has withdrawn from the presidential inaugural gala. When the Bruce Springsteen cover band is dropping out of your lineup, you might have troubles with your bookings.
But can they still get the C Street Band, who's a cover band of the B Street Band?
They're up next. But then you get the D Street Band. And then you get to the E Street Band, and they're the real thing.
Yeah.
So this is all screwed up. This alphabet is just all honky.
Yeah, you're right.
Or wonky.
The tribute band should have been the honky.
It's mostly honky. Except for Clarence Clemens on sax.
Very true.
Yeah. Founder of the group, Will Forte, no relation.
Oh.
Tells Backstreets.com, which of course is the Bruce Springsteen fan magazine of record. Mm-hmm. That their withdrawal was based solely on respect and gratitude for Bruce and the E Street Band and giving Bruce's feelings about President-elect Donald Trump. They cannot, in all good conscience, perform at the inauguration. So their hero wouldn't like it, and so they're not going to do it. I think that's honorable, and I think Bruce should also write a little check for whatever they were going to make and send it the B Street Band's way so they're not out of cash, because... You know, you only make so much working at Arby's, and there's all those nights after your shift when you gotta go play Rosalita. So Will, I'm sure, could use a couple bucks. Speaking of which, real quick, hot take. I had a loaner car from the good people at Galpin Ford, our friends at Galpin Ford.
Right.
You know, I had a honked up electrical problem with my Mustang.
Right, yeah.
So they were very kind. They actually heard me talking about it on the radio. I told them I came out to the dead car. And they called me up and said, oh, we'll take care of for you. So they picked up my Mustang and they gave me another Mustang to drive in the interim. Which is, oh, I think Daddy's getting a new Mustang.
Stop it.
Just saying. Daddy's getting a new
Stop
Mustang.
Stop calling yourself Daddy.
Daddy like All Daddy right. like
Stop it.
But it had, for the first time ever, I had the Sirius, the satellite radio.
Right.
Oh. And there is a whole channel dedicated to Bruce Springsteen on Sirius.
Channel 13, right?
I think it's 20.
Okay. And oh, so, yeah, you're right. You're right. Elvis is 13. Yeah. Bruce is 13.
Right. Elvis. Right.
Of course. Everybody knows yeah. that.
Yes. Ridiculous.
Beam. So I'm listening for a lot of the weekend. Hey, that guy's got a lot of good songs. That Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce your hot take is that Bruce Springsteen is talented? So you're telling us.
Yeah, you don't usually hear him in a big, like, a big gusher like that. You know? They're usually just trickles, dribs and dribs and drabs. You don't usually get the whole Russian prostitute worth right there in the car.
So you're saying he has good songs.
So I just left it on. It was a ton of them. I was like, wow, this guy's got a future.
Huh.
There's a lot of good songs coming out of that guy.
All right, we'll make a note of that.
Yeah, Springsteen is good. Write that down. Imagine my surprise. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Betty White. Betty White is.
Come on!
95 years old.
Shut up.
Is she the best looking 95
Don't
year old?
Don't have that category.
Ever. No, but seriously, think about it.
But who seriously, all the others are dead because all the other 95 year olds are dead.
My Nana was pretty hot at 95.
Was she?
No.
Well,
I'm just saying. 95 year old women.
I'm just saying. For 95, she looks fantastic. She looks so much younger than that, doesn't
she? Are you excited for your party?
Not one bit.
There she is now.
Yeah. Betty's not excited. Maury Povich is 78. Is there a better looking 78 year old man than Maury Povich? Oh, it's so do Maury, right? Steve Harvey is 60. New consultant for the housing of urban development department.
That's Steve right. Harvey?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Kevin. Your president, Donald Trump, has picked Steve Harvey to step in and help Ben Carson run housing. What's happening? Is this Mad Libs? Steve Harvey,
yeah.
host of the Family Feud,
right.
is going to help with the housing situation.
Hmm.
Jim Carrey's 55 years old today. Michelle Obama turns 53. DJ Tiesto is 48 years old. Singer Kid Rock is 46. Also 46 today is Lil Jon. Zooey Deschanel is 37 years old today. And DJ Calvin Harris is 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
February 15th and 16th, the Honda Center has a little band called 21 Pilots performing live there. And the shows are sold out, as they do. And we're going to be giving you chances to win all week long here on K-Rock. Every hour from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. you can win them. And we have an extra pair for you coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Stand by. We'll tell you how to win them.
DJ Omar Khan is in the studio with us now. Omar?
Hey, good morning.
Quite a weekend, sir.
Oh, it was party-rific.
Quite a weekend.
I with Sam the Armenian Comedian this weekend, guys. It doesn't get better than that.
I feel like Omar and Kevin are the only two still hanging on to the Armenian Comedian train.
I feel the same.
I feel like you two are alone.
Here's the thing that fascinates me by him. It's the early days of American Idol, mm-hmm. when people get up and they're terrible, and then they get told they're terrible, and they just, their minds are blown that anyone would think they're terrible.
Yeah,
because
it's impossible.
Yes, because in their own minds, they're great.
Kill it every time.
The Armenian comedian has never, and he's told a lot of jokes, he's never told one where accidentally it was funny.
And do you believe that as he's crafting and then telling those jokes, he thinks they're funny?
In other words, he's not in on it, right? Oh, no. No, he thinks he's entertaining.
He legitimately thinks they're funny jokes.
Yes.
Do you think he's crafting jokes?
No.
Or do you think it's just up there, he's just spitballing?
Absolutely.
I think
Absolutely.
He's just spitballing because his confidence level is, I'm so funny that I can just spitball stuff and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's really just Sam and Louis C.K. who can just take a stage with no material and make a show, right?
That's why I love him.
All right, so the event that we told you about last week happened over the weekend. This was where, Omar? At the Grilla Mall
in
what city?
In Alhambra.
All right. And they were having their 4-year anniversary party, and part of the entertainment was Sam showing up to do it all, right? To sing, to tell jokes. Did Mr. Clown stop by too?
Mr. Clown, unfortunately, didn't stop by.
Okay.
They had a DJ beforehand. Sam was supposed to go on at 9, so he was supposed to show up at 8:30. He shows up at 10:30.
You're kidding.
No.
He showed up at 10:30 for 9 o'clock?
Yeah. And the event was over. It closes at 11.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't you think if you were Sam and you get hired once every 2 years, you would, I don't know, be there on time?
You would think.
I'd
be there
early.
Did he have
an excuse?
No.
No. He never does.
No. Yeah. He just shows up late. And when he gets there, I ask him this.
We're at Grilla Mall. This is Sam, the Armenian comedian. Hey, Sam, you ready to rock the crowd?
Yeah.
The enthusiasm.
Yeah, he's pumped.
He's so happy to be there an hour and a half late.
He's so magical. So the DJ, you know, who is there an hour and a half more than he was supposed to, he's breaking down his stuff. Sam goes up and he does this little intro and he gives kind of people a lay of the land of what he's going to perform.
How you doing, everybody? I'm going to sing, I'm going to do magical tricks.
All right, so sing and magical tricks.
Oh, dear.
Computerized IQ test or number game.
Okay, now, was that one thing? Computerized?
I don't know, dude.
Test or IQ test or magical?
I think that
or numbers
separate.
Game?
Yeah, yeah.
Those are two different things?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to do magic tricks. I'm going to do everything I can to make this rocket!
Now listen, it really kicks in here. All right, here, though.
Which one is that?
He doesn't know what he's going to go into.
No. It's perfect.
That was the beginning when he lists all the things he's going to do, and then he does none of them.
Yeah, so he brings one band member from, I think, Metal Man or something, and he Sam, and they had no communication.
Sure.
So whatever the guy who's playing the guitar, Sam has every single time, Sam has no idea what he's doing. So every single time, Sam's, what is this? What is this? So the guitar player doesn't know what's happening, so Sam just goes into this weird hamburger song.
All I want is hamburger! I want a hamburger! French fries!
Oh, French fries. Yeah. All right, let me... You didn't even bring us the highlight of, I don't want a falafel!
Let me ask Allie, because she hasn't drank the Kool-Aid. Would you sit in that restaurant and try to enjoy a meal, Allie?
Would I never sit there? I would never go back because I'd be so pissed at them.
You know, everybody was in a good mood. People were drinking, hanging out, and this was the first song that he does. So everybody was like, oh, yeah, into it. This is going to be a pretty fun goof. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
That was the height. Yeah. Everything is downhill from this point on.
Dear.
Oh, yeah. It went terrible. He does this thing where he makes people guess a number.
Uh-huh.
And he says, okay, divide this or whatever. And he insults the crowd by calling everybody dum-dums. It's pretty awesome. We're going to post a video on all Kevin and Bean social media. Make sure you check it out. It's about a 5-minute video. And you'll see him in all his glory. It's amazing. Okay.
By the way, you guys were Facebook Living this night. And and like 20,000 people watched the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, what is the fascination with Sam at this point? Don't people know you're going to be disappointed if you tune in?
It's really once-in-a-lifetime talent.
I think it's the guy's confidence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there was a little lull, and the beauty about Sam is that I could say, do magic, do this, and he'll just go right into it without any hesitation.
None of which he can do.
Absolutely.
But Omar makes a suggestion, and he'll try it.
Yeah, and here I am.
Hey, tell a joke, Sam.
Hey, I saw Donald Trump and Barack Obama in the Strat House. They were celebrating on the In-N-Out business.
Tell another joke, Sam.
I saw Donald Trump and Barack Obama in the desert. They were counting the sand.
Okay. All right.
I mean,
I'm pulling the plug on this.
Come on.
At that point, nobody's paying attention. Sam is just doing it for himself and me because I find it endlessly entertaining. You know, so no, people aren't leaving on because of Sam, but it's getting close to, you know, the store
closing time.
You know what I mean? So people, it wasn't as full as it would have been if he showed up on time.
Sure.
Yeah. And he goes on to do magic. And he's like,
he does a magic trick with a yo-yo.
And yeah,
and Omar says he missed it, so he starts it again.
And he does the entire thing again.
Listen to how happy Omar is.
Seriously, it's an audience of one. And we're looking at him.
I love it.
No, no, I'm in. It's an audience of only two.
Absolutely.
Why don't the three of you just live together and leave the rest of us out of it?
I would do that in a heartbeat.
It is a Tuesday that feels like a Monday. So right about this time, we'd like to check in with our good friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, live in the newsroom. How are you, Harvey? How was your weekend, sir?
It does feel like a Tuesday. Sorry.
Were you working yesterday?
Yes.
Harvey.
It every bit feels like a Tuesday. Well, here's the thing. No, yeah. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Something happened in this office yesterday, I can't say what, but we had a catered lunch for everybody yesterday. There are like 9 people out, and I'm hearing like a couple of them say they had food poisoning. So this place, unbelievable.
That's fantastic.
They dropped like flies.
So you're alone in the office right now?
I'm not alone, but it's geez.
Was the thing that happened something that you will unveil at some point, some announcement or something, Harvey?
Well, I don't know. I think they'll live. You know, I mean, I don't think it's going to be, I don't think it's fatal or anything. But I'm afraid it might have been pastrami or corned beef.
I see.
That's hilarious.
Those are the best kind of office lunches, aren't they? All right. Well, let's talk about your close personal friend, Donald J. Trump, who will take the oath of office this Friday and become the 45th president of the United States. By the way, when you did that big special with him a couple of months ago that aired on Fox, how did you leave it with him? Like, are you in the inner Trump circle now? Do you have access to the president, Harvey?
Do I have access? I don't talk to him all the time, no. But I've known him for like a dozen years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he doesn't like abandon people he's known.
So could you, at some point, if you need to, do you think you could get him on the phone?
Text him right now and just say, what's up?
Stop.
Do you think you could call the president and he would call you back?
Guys, what do you want to ask me?
I'm not trying to vote, point in on your friendship. I'm just wondering what that's like to, like, kind of be friends with the president now.
Well, I mean, look, first of all, he's not the president yet. And secondly, it's like there are, like, a lot of people, when you think about it, I mean, really think about this. Donald Trump was never in politics. He was in business and entertainment for many, many years. Mm-hmm. So he has interacted with lots and lots of people before politics entered the picture at all.
Of course.
And so he has a whole world out there. Probably most people are not in politics, and most of the people he's interacted with, I would guess, are not in politics.
No, I agree. So, he's going to be the first president who, like, was already friends with Little John before he was sworn in.
But you know what? But it's true. And you could say the same thing about Ronald Reagan, remember?
Sure.
I mean, it's true he was governor, but he still had a long, long career where he interacted with people who had nothing to do with politics. And if you looked at his presidency, you know, you saw that there were people who came and went, you know, from his past life.
Of course.
I think that happens with a lot. It happened with Obama. I mean, look, Obama was a community leader in Chicago. He had a whole life. Even before politics, because, you know, Obama was a state legislator and then by fluke became a senator. I mean, he was running and it was like impossible for him to win. But if you remember there was a guy who was the leader there was a scandal that came out and he had to drop out and then Obama shot to the top. So, you know, he had the same kind of a thing. A lot of presidents do.
Okay. So here's my follow-up question then. Maybe this will bring it back to what's on TMZ.com. This is getting back to this.
Okay.
And that is, with all the people that Donald Trump has known, especially through all those years of doing Celebrity Apprentice and working with people like Brett Michaels of Poison and all those other musicians that they have, why aren't any of them stepping up and going, hey, my old friend Don, let me do you a solid and play your inaugural ball this weekend?
Well, I'll tell you, it does kind of get into a story that we did, which is that Jennifer Holliday had agreed to do the inauguration on Friday, and then she backed out on Saturday. And the reason we're told that she backed out is death threats.
Oh, no.
Now, I will tell you, there's a dispute about this. We did a story saying that, and we have Trump sources and that her people called up on Saturday and said she's received death threats, she's worried about her family, she can't do this, after she agreed to do it just the day before.
By the way, terrible. It is terrible, but I don't doubt it for a second.
Well,
because Donald Trump is the most polarizing figure either. Either you're all in or you're all out. I imagine the fallout for you and your family, PR-wise, isn't worth it.
And I think that's become a big factor in this. I mean, I think there are a lot of people who absolutely object and don't like Donald Trump, and that's why they're saying no. But there are others that, you know, we know record labels have said to people, do not do this, and some people have just been afraid of their careers. And for Jennifer Holliday, I will say this, that she came out later and said the reason she did it was because that she had offended members of the LGBT community. They were very upset, and one of her publicists or somebody came out to one of the trades yesterday and said that TMZ made this story up about death threats. And so we sent them an email that we had where they acknowledged there were. So the person then says, the publicist says, well, yeah, there were death threats, but we couldn't establish whether they were credible or not. Well, that's when you say no.
Yes, that's right.
Right.
So the bottom line for Jennifer Holliday then, though, is that she's telling us she's not going, right?
She's not going. Oh, God. Oh, God, did you do it? Oh, Lord.
You and I may be the only ones who got that.
Yeah, no,
to
I got it, Dream I Girl, totally but I totally let it go because it was that bad.
Oh, God.
All right, right, Harvey?
Oh,
so are you going to get an ambassadorship or something? Are you going to be like our envoy to, you know, Great Britain or something? I mean, what job in the administration do you have, do you think, Harvey?
I don't.
You don't think so? Why don't you be like Secretary of State or something cool?
Yeah, because you can just take whatever you want, right? That's how it works.
You're a lawyer. Why don't you get on the Supreme Court?
You guys are... Come on.
Look, we'd still talk to you if you were a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That would be nice of you.
That would be such an honor.
You'd get a lot more time off.
Excuse me, 6:20, guys. Can I leave the bench for just 5?
Yes, exactly. There you go. All right, TMZ, blah, 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 Channel 11, blah, 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 Channel Real Sports, blah, blah, blah. You know the deal. TMZ.com for the tour and so much more. Thank you, Harvey. We love you. Thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.
Ralph and Petros have the Bachelor Report at 8 o'clock this morning. We'll also catch up with Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network about the playoffs this past weekend. That's coming up. First, though, is that beer mug I see?
Hey, Mugs.
Yeah. What up? What's going on, man?
You know, conquering the world 1 minute at a time. Right.
Is that how you describe what happened at the Tough Mudder?
Not at all.
Tell us about the Tough Mudder.
The Tough
Training.
Tough Mudder Training was a little event down at Venice Beach. They had some of the obstacles that are at the main event, which is a 5 mile and 10 mile course, and they let the public come in and try everything out. It's an obstacle course. They had it set up at the basketball courts down at Venice Beach, and I went down there and I failed miserably.
The main event is happening at the Glen Helen Raceway, March 25th and 26th. You can go to toughmudder.com for details. Now, forgive me, Muggs, because I haven't seen what this looks like. Is it an obstacle course that you run in mud?
Well, yeah, the main Tough Mudder has mud. They just had everything out on concrete, but they had the actual obstacle courses.
All right, what was it?
They had four. They had something called the pyramid scheme, which is like an inverted wall. They had something called the reach around, where you have to climb at an inverted angle on a ladder.
Knows. I know.
They had this thing called Kong, which you had to swing across rings about 25, 30 feet up in the air.
Okay.
And they had this thing called Augustus Gloop, where you have to climb up to, water, like, pipes, plastic pipes that are spraying water down on you, and you have to climb up to the top.
Oh,
and you feel like
awful.
You did so well in the American Ninja Warrior course that now you wanted to take on Tough Mudder.
Yeah, you know me. Conquering all the athletic events.
Right, so Muggs goes, and he's not exactly feeling great on the day that it happened. When was this, Saturday?
This was on Thursday, right after the show. And let me tell you, right after I left the show, I felt like I was going to go into a coma from, like, just being sick the week before. I just wanted to go to bed. I didn't want to be up. I'd been up all morning. I just was not feeling good at all.
Not looking forward to this at all, Carlos. It's cold. I have a little bit of a cold. I'm probably going to get pneumonia. But hey, you only live once.
This is how crappy I sound.
No, you sound great. But 30 seconds later,
I can't feel my legs.
Yeah. Yeah. So I get there and rain is pouring down on Venice Beach. Usually a beautiful scene. It was 40 degrees. They threw me right into the training exercises.
Yeah, it was raining hard on Thursday.
I literally didn't have time to like warm up or do anything. They threw me right into it. I was doing mountain climbers terribly. I was doing leapfrogs terribly. I was doing jumping lunges terribly. And literally 2 minutes into that, my muscles started like giving out. They started seizing up. And I couldn't feel my legs.
I love that he said, I didn't have time to warm up.
Yeah.
Like you would have.
Oh, of course I would have.
A, like you would have warmed up, and B, like it would have helped.
It would have helped, and I would have.
Now, you're going to have to explain to us how you got cut. Where was the bleeding coming from?
Okay, so this was after the training session, after I'm soaking wet with rain, about to die of pneumonia. I do the pyramid scheme, which is like a little inverted wall. It has like plexiglass on the surface. And you have to climb on top of other people to get to the top and be pulled up to people waiting at the top.
Okay.
Oh. So it's kind of like a teamwork teamwork obstacle. And I don't know how it happened, but I got pulled up. I make it up to the top. Everything's great. And I look down at my hand, and there's like three chunks of skin missing from my right hand on my knuckle.
I'm already bleeding. This really is a tough mutter. Should I get this looked at?
You got a wife here with you,
Yeah,
I'm
gonna wipe you off.
All right.
Right.
Am I your first customer?
Yes, you are. You really are, actually. Come over here.
The first customer.
Yeah.
You're the only person that was injured at that point?
The first and only all day that the EMTs had to see.
You got seen by EMTs?
Yes.
Oh, my.
They had to wrap me up. It was very embarrassing.
Like a burrito.
But at least it stuck.
Punch it up.
I just wanted to jump because my hand's out of commission right now because I did one obstacle and I was out. That was it. Now they got to rewrap it. We got a bleeder.
Now, what do you mean by one obstacle?
So,
you didn't do all of them?
So here we go. So I do the pyramid scheme, right? I get up to the top, get down. My hand's bleeding. They wrap me up and they wrap my hand pretty tight.
Yeah.
And that pretty much put me out of commission for the whole day. So I did one obstacle. I conquered. I came. I saw. I kicked its ass with one obstacle. I was out the rest of the day. Out the rest of the day. I looked. There was the Kong, which is the ring thing. Mm-hmm. All I did was climb up to the top and just jump off into like a little inflatable like moon bounce landing.
Right.
That was it. You know how I do.
So there you have it, guys. The Tough Mudder training event right here in Venice Beach. I did one obstacle. One obstacle. And I got injured. I suck.
Yeah, let me tell you something.
I feel like we sent the right guy, though.
Well, here's the thing. I felt like the biggest pile of crap next to all these awesome people. This guy, Noah Galloway, literally gave his arm and his leg for this country. Doing the obstacle courses with no problem. Just easy breezy. And here I am, all my limbs intact, just a big pile of crap.
Uh-huh.
And they want me to come back to the main event.
No, they don't.
Yeah. They want me to come back to the main event, and I think I'm doing something that day, so I think I'm good. You know, I won't be able to make it.
I'm glad you brought that up, though.
Yeah.
It's an important part of the story.
Yeah.
It's a shame, but Beer Mug did learn something.
No pain, no gain, right?
Right?
Yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:52.
By the way, I don't remember if we mentioned this, but if you want to see the fail that Beer Mug was just describing, you can see it at krock.com or the Kevin and Bean Facebook page if you want to watch it. Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on, man?
I'm giving away stuff.
What stuff?
I've got tickets to Bellator 170.
Yay!
Tito Ortiz versus Chael Sonnen at the Forum this Saturday. Return of the Huntington Beach Bad Boy.
Right?
Right?
How old is he now?
He's 60? 78 years old.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Chael Sonnen, they're going to square off Saturday, January 21st at the Forum. You can buy your tickets at Ticketmaster.com or you can give me a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 20 at that phone number gets a pair of tickets to Bellator 170 with Tito Ortiz squaring off against Chael Sonnen this Saturday at the Forum. Chael's doing pretty well over there on Celebrity Apprentice, by the way.
He's a bright guy.
Very smart guy, and is kind of dominating his team. He's super bright.
Yeah.
Are you watching?
Yes, I watched last night.
He knew a lot about Warren Buffett.
Sure did.
What kind of chocolate he likes.
He sure did.
I'll tell you that much.
Chael is going to be joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.
Awesome! I'm really impressed by his brains. You don't expect an MMA fighter to be as sharp as that guy.
He's a sharp guy, yeah.
Very sharp. And
always good at promoting fights, too.
I was wondering if he is using some of his legendary smack-talking in the boardroom.
Not so much. He's playing it pretty straight.
The teaser for next week, though.
It looks like he looks upsets like the apple cart, as they say.
It looks like
week.
He brings it.
Sounds like he's it's like a Celebrity Apprentice three-way triple cross or something. It's like everybody gets effed over somehow by Chael next week, so I'm looking forward to that. But I was just happy to see John Lovitz go home last night. That was awesome.
Oh,
but you've always said he's a great businessman.
I'm an asshole. Thank you. Because it's true.
They were listing all of the people and how much money they raised in this particular challenge. Uh-huh. And they were all $35,000, $100,000.
I raised $500.
No, sir.
Total.
The whole team together raised over $300,000 for charity, and they were going through what everybody brought in. It's like, but John, how come you only raised this much? $500.
What was his
excuse? A check from the Laugh Factory for $500.
That's it.
Like, well, I was on a plane for 4 hours.
They were like, so is Chael Sonnen. He raised
$49,000.
Oh, my God. $500.
John Lovett's one of the great business minds of our time. He should open a comedy club. He's got such a great business sense. Oh, wait a minute.
The team did send him away because they just felt like he was slowing down their task. So they basically just put
him on. If you're annoying Ricky Williams, who is the most chill, stoned guy on the planet, he had to send him to Omaha to get him out of the room.
Just go someplace. Just go anywhere else except for here.
I need to make chocolate with raspberries. Get out!
They were making See's candies last night. Boy, See's candies, pretty good stuff.
So good.
Looked pretty good right there. Anyway, it's Monday morning. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Oh, it's Tuesday. Rather, yes, it feels like a Monday because we had the long weekend. So let's see what people went to see over the long weekend at the theaters. Hidden Figures, number one, with $26 million. Sing was number two, and then La La Land, Rogue One, and The Bye Bye Man. Monster Trucks came in at number six, debuted with $15 million. Patriots Day, Sleepless, Underworld, Blood Wars, and Passengers were your top 10 films over the long holiday weekend. I'll tell you, one person who's not happy with the new Chips trailer. Well, I know a lot of people were happy with the new Chips trailer, but there's one person in particular. A little guy named Eric Estrada.
Oh.
Uh-huh. He's seen the new Chips trailer, and he is not going to have it.
Do I take it this means there is no Eric Estrada cameo in the Chips movie?
I'm guessing there isn't, or else he'd probably be more supportive, at least faking it. But he's not faking it when he tweeted this. Pure trash. Remember, not 100% sure, real Chips never drew their gun. Well, don't put that fact in your tweet, by the way, if you have to put in parentheses, not 100% sure. You were punched. You did it or you didn't do it. I tell you, that new Chips movie is either in the works or is done is demeaning to Chips fans, and I will not see it. So there you go. No Chips for Eric Estrada. That Michael Peña is sure afraid of being gay, isn't he?
Oh, man.
That trailer?
Sure a lot of...
He's sure afraid of penises, because he
thinks... Doesn't that strike you as so incredibly tone-deaf in 2016?
He thinks if you get near a penis, it's pretty gay, and that makes him nervous, because of all the gay possibilities.
It does feel being like it was about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
As 15. Far as using that word and that...
Oh, man.
Yeah.
At least. It's just not funny.
Who makes a movie about homophobic Chips cops in this day and age?
That's a weird choice.
What an odd tone.
But at least it looks bad.
Right.
There's good
that for it. Right. Looks the opposite of funny. So,
so if you're going to take a bad idea, be sure to do it poorly.
Right.
Okay.
And then be all homophobic on top of it.
Right.
It's a perfect recipe. Hey, speaking of perfect recipes, how about the Elizabethan period of England and the Go-Go's? Right? Those are two great tastes that taste great together.
You lost me with the connection there.
There's a new musical in the works called Head Over Heels, featuring the music of the Go-Go's.
All right. Okay.
It's a jukebox musical featuring all of the classic Go-Go's hits, and the story is set in Elizabethan England.
I don't, I'm not.
Oh my
I
God,
can't.
Really?
Sure. Doesn't that just seem. Because Elizabethans, they got the beat.
Oh.
They just want to go on a vacation. That's all they ever wanted.
Vacation.
First of all, how do you make a Go-Go's musical when they have like three hits? Is it just Vacation nine times in the first act?
Another strange choice.
And then make it an Elizabethan era. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a weird choice.
Weird choice.
That's going to be quite something to check out.
Okay.
Michael Peña's in that as well?
He is not.
Okay.
That's unrelated.
Genius.
No, it's odd. We got the beat.
Thank God.
Today's celebrity birthdays. DJ Calvin Harris is 33 years old today. Zooey Deschanel turns 37. Lil Jon's 46, as is Kid Rock. DJ Tiesto's 48. The Floatus, Michelle Obama, celebrates her 53rd birthday. Jim Carrey's 55. Steve Harvey is 60. Maury Povich turns 78. And actress Betty White celebrates her 95th birthday today.
Bitch.
Oh, Rodney.
How dare you?
Come on.
How dare
she
you?
She is a national treasure.
Not okay.
Rodney, you should know better. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got those sold-out tickets to 21 Pilots at the Honda Center. They're playing February 15th and 16th. You can get all the details at KROQ.com and stand by for your chance to win coming up in minutes here on KROQ. Hey, over the holiday weekend, did anyone check in on Jaden Smith? Do we know if he's okay? Because he was pretty bummed out last week.
I don't believe anyone checked on him.
Really?
No.
It sounded like, I mean, if he's even still in town, it sounded like he was leaving, right?
Yeah, he did that whole thing on Instagram Live. Where he was is that what it was? Instagram. He was talking about, how do I tell my dad I failed and I'm going to move away and nobody supports youth. Mm-hmm. Nobody supports the arts. Everybody's in it for themselves. Why aren't scientists on Instagram Live solving cancer? And everybody was like, what the F is going on? Well, apparently he took and failed a driving test.
Mm-hmm. He was, while shooting the video, he was still in his car in the parking lot at the Department of Motor Vehicles in L.A. And that led him, because he failed his test, that led him to the conclusion that society is sad and life is sometimes, you know what I'm saying, if I recall correctly.
It's going to be so funny to tell my dad that, like, failed straight up.
Yeah, you didn't fail. You're not failing.
Everybody follow your heart, okay? You know what I'm saying? Do exactly what you want to do. Be the you that you want to be. I'm about to move out of L.A. There's a lot of bad things here.
I got news for you. There's a DMV in probably each state, I assume.
Yeah,
we're going to have to probably take another test, I assume.
Exactly. You don't not have to take a test because you move out of L.A.
Create the life that you want for yourself. You know, don't try to be somebody else, you know.
Now,
like someone with a license?
Why is he going on this big self-help rant?
I don't know.
Don't try to be something that you're not, like a driver? I don't even understand.
Because if you can't parallel park, what good are you to the
they
world?
They don't even make
Kevin.
You do that anymore.
Oh, they don't? Really?
No. You don't have to parallel park anymore?
No. I didn't have to.
It's possibly the easiest driving test right now.
Is that why nobody can goddamn parallel park?
I'm the Luke Skywalker of parallel parking. I am freaking amazing, and zero people care.
This thing, I care, by
it's
the way.
Art.
I respect anyone who can parallel park well, because I'm also an excellent parallel parker. So I take
anytime,
it very seriously.
Man. Anytime.
Don't even start. Don't even start.
Kevin is
But here's what happened. So we brought up the Jaden Smith story last week, and we're all laughing and having a good time. And then Kevin pipes up, and he says, if I remember, I may have failed my driving test a couple of times.
I assumed everyone had.
We were all kind of surprised by that. I don't know what the numbers are. Maybe someone does, but I think most people pass on their first try, don't they?
I would think so, yeah.
Nah, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Really, Dave?
I'm with the other bad driver on the show.
And then Dave pipes in from the other room, producer David King of Mexico. He's like, I failed it too. Now, how many times did you fail it, King?
Just once.
And what was the reason?
Well, listen, No, I blame the instructor. He was a dick.
Oh,
yeah.
Of course.
Right,
he did.
It was the instructor. No, he was a grumpy guy, and you know, and I did this in Montebello, which is the one of the toughest DMVs in California.
Oh, it's got that rep?
It does. It does. You know, because then I went to Bell Gardens and it was easy. All right. So I get on the freeway. And now they don't even take you on the freeway anymore.
I was
anymore.
Never on the freeway.
Nope, see, exactly. So I take a freeway, and I'm getting on the on-ramp. The guy says, speed up. You're going too slow. So I speed up, and then he goes, all right, you failed. You went too fast. I was like, what?
He tricked you.
He did.
Mm. Awesome.
I went 57. 57. Boom, fail.
57?
Oh, that's
50.
That's weak.
Big time failing.
That is weak, though.
No,
it's
what are you 55. Talking about?
It's
55.
Oh, I thought 57 on the whole test. That was your score.
No.
Like,
is that 100?
That's not that.
All right, so you failed in the driving part. Now, when this came up, when Kevin let it slip that he had failed, I assumed it was the written because...
Yeah. Oh, no.
Because I thought there's no way Kevin studies for the written.
Okay, hold on. Let's back up. If you're talking about the written, I failed it once.
Oh, you failed that also?
Yes, but we weren't talking about that. We were talking about the driving part.
Mm-hmm. So if you fail the written, you can't take the driving part then? You
right.
Have
you have to go back and take the written test again.
Okay, so you came back, took it, passed the written, and then failed the driving.
Yes.
Why don't I believe him?
How many times?
How many times did I fail?
Yeah.
Technically?
Yes.
Dose.
Okay, so two driving, one written. So technically, trace.
I mean, if you're going to be technical about it.
Did you have to pay for another chance to take the driving test?
I don't remember. I assume so.
Yes.
How? I assume so.
Yes, that's amazing.
What did you do?
Because
now?
I went to Montebello.
I did.
They had that reputation of being really hard.
Now, by the way, before we find out why Kevin failed the driving, I'm going to open up the phones because we are looking for your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear, I know there are a lot of people who have great stories about how and why they failed their driving test. That's what we want to hear from you.
Everyone fails a driving test.
1-800-520-1067. I'm really going to be happiest if there's some sort of accident or some sort of fire. Those are the stories I'm looking forward to. But whatever you've got, give us a call if you failed. And then, Kevin, you tell us how you failed the driving test. Then.
The first one was speeding.
Do you remember the details?
I was on an on-ramp, and he said, speed up.
You're just repeating Dave.
No, it was, I think it was like 35... In a residential zone, I think I was going like 40-something, 42, 43.
Now, that's a little bit of a surprise only because you know you're being watched. It's not like you're doing it and you hope to get away with it. I mean, you know there's somebody who's looking for you, you know, looking for something like that right next to you.
Yeah, I just assumed that it was cool. Like, I assume that if the speed limit is 35, well, you know...
44.
Right? I mean, honestly, everybody...
But isn't that usually the type of conclusion you come to after you've been driving for a while and you see what the lay of the land is and the regular speeds people drive?
I mean, technically, yes.
Okay, what was the second time?
The second time there was someone in a crosswalk.
Oh, no.
On the far side.
Okay. R.I.P. Carlos.
And I turned while they were in... But they were all the way in the other side of the road.
But they were still
in
the crosswalk?
But they were in the crosswalk.
Oh, yeah. See, that guy's a dick.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
A cop won't even give you a ticket for that anymore.
I think that's true. But
they won't.
But that guy failed me, and then I had to go back again.
Repo13 writes in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, I failed my first driving test and never made it out of the parking lot. Damn stop signs.
Out of the parking lot.
How about that?
Look at Amanda. Let's take her call.
Oh, Amanda.
She makes me look like a genius. Amanda.
Yes.
You failed the written or the driving?
I failed both. I failed the written 10 times and I failed the driving 13 times.
What?
Oh, my God.
How do you fail the driving test 13 times?
I don't remember every single way I failed. I know one time I never made it out of the parking lot because instead of putting it in reverse, I put it in drive and I hit the pole.
Oh. No.
And the guy very calmly was just like, okay, put it back in park, pull out the keys. You failed.
In like 5 seconds.
The first thing you did failed you.
Okay, look, it's understandable. Maybe Kevin's right and lots of people fail once.
Thank you, Bean.
Or maybe even twice. But how do you start getting into 8 times, 10 times, 12 times? Why didn't you get better?
I have no idea. Whenever I go renew my driver's license, I like study hardcore and I like reread everything. But
Did you not have anyone working with you, like in between attempts? Did you not have parents or somebody who were taking you out to try to teach you?
I had numerous people try to teach me, and both my mom and my dad tried teaching me. My boyfriend's parents were trying to teach me, and actually, when I ran into the pole, it was my boyfriend's mother's car.
Oh, Amanda, you're a miracle.
And by the way, how do you feel the written so many times? Because it's not a long test.
No, but I got problems with the written.
Yeah, the written is BS.
They write them in a BS way where one answer is correct, but another answer is more correct.
And then they also...
Yes.
That's BS.
They also include the, if you're following a tractor, he's like, come on, when are we going to follow a tractor?
Okay, so fine. So that happens to you. But then the fourth time, the fifth time, the eighth time, the tenth time, why don't you get that?
Because they switch it up, man.
Right, man.
They do. It is. I literally collected five different tests. There were five different, like, they all had five just different answers. And
oh, that's interesting.
And, like, the wording changes.
You right, failed let me the ask driving you, test 13 times.
Let me ask you one final question, Amanda, and that is, you finally get your license. How have you been as a driver?
I only got it suspended once.
You got your driver's license suspended once?
Yes.
For?
Speeding and, like, four accidents.
I feel like we
need like four accidents.
Okay. All right.
Hey Amanda, ever get a letter from California saying you were the worst driver?
I got a letter saying I was an unsafe driver.
Oh, yeah. Kevin's people.
Amanda is my people.
Yeah.
The letter gang.
You're the best, Amanda. Please be careful out there. And I love that you're calling us while you're driving, too. But thank you for the call, okay?
It's Bluetooth.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And like four accidents.
Oh, she's the best.
I love her.
I love her, but I do not want to carpool with her. Talking about Kevin's people, really. You failed your driver test. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Here's a couple before we get back to the phones. Aaron writes in on the Kevin Bean Twitter account, I failed my first driving test because of that moment where you have to decide between taking the yellow light barely or slamming on your brakes. I made the wrong decision. That's a tough spot to be in on a driver's test, right? And Susan writes in, Dear Bean, she's streaming us in Virginia this morning. I failed my first driver's license test badly. I pulled out of the parking lot at the DMV and turned left. The only thing was I was turning into an oncoming traffic lane.
Oh, no.
I was headed at the opposite coming traffic. The instructor told me to turn left at the next entryway, and he would not even give me a second chance. So that's how she failed. That's not how you want to start your driving test, is looking at cars coming at you, right?
Imagine those driving instructors that have to sit there and go with you on your driving test, right?
No way.
That's a tough job, and you got to be a patient person. All right, let's take some more calls, 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, we'll start with Kelly. She's in Seal Beach. She's up first. She's on line three to get us going here. Hey, Kelly.
Hi.
Hi there. How many times did you fail your driving test?
I failed my driving test 7 times.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, and you did.
Yes, I did. I think I failed, I mean, it's been years, but I think I failed my written test 3 times.
Sure.
Oh, my gosh.
And I, the first day, I was so sure I was going to pass. I had a complete Jaden Smith meltdown in my mom's car. Because I was so surprised. I was like, when you park at a curb and you're supposed to turn on your blinker and to exit, like to keep driving and stuff. And that was the one thing I didn't do. So I thought, okay, you know, that was an easy fix. Gonna make it to the next one.
Sure.
And failed this next 6 times. And we went to different DMVs because we thought maybe it's the location.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely not you.
Right. Exactly. I mean, we went to, like, Pasadena, we went to Glendale, and I finally got it in Rancho Cucamonga by 1 point. I was 1 point away from failing again.
Wow.
Wow.
And how's your driving record?
It's okay.
It's okay, she says.
I mean, like, I got into my first accident, like, a month after I got my license.
Right.
But it wasn't too bad. It wasn't super bad or anything, but my friends do
do not like driving with me, or they do not want me to drive if we're together.
Well, I think that tells you how you're driving.
Your friends are making the right decision.
So, Jim. All right, Kelly. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. I mean, look, Jaden Smith's meltdown was ridiculous. But when you're 16 years old and you're going for that driving license.
It's all that matters.
It's all that matters. I mean, you've got all your hopes and dreams pinned on passing that test and getting that license, right? So I can understand why you're disappointed. And then when you go back the second time, the third, the fourth, in Kelly's case, seven times, that must have been crushing. All right, let's try Rebecca. She's in Laverne. She's up next. A lot of ladies
noticing, that.
Ladies,
the girls. Hey, Rebecca.
Hi. So I go to the DMV on my 16th birthday. I'm super excited. Told all my friends. Anyway, so I'm at the Pomona DMV, and we leave. We go on this side street. The very first thing they ask me to do is the 3-point turnabout.
Oh, that's what Pomona's known for.
Yeah, I do. It's fun, right? So I do the 3-point turnabout. I'm all excited. And right away, the instructor says, you ended up on the wrong side of the road.
Oh, well, there's that.
And right away, took me back. I was done. My test probably lasted like 3 minutes.
Oh, man.
And then how long did you have to wait to try again? Is it like 2 weeks or something before you can come back and try again?
2 weeks. So mm-hmm. I did pass on my second try, and I didn't tell anybody because I was so embarrassed the first time. But I did pass on my second try.
All right. Good for you. Thank you for the call. I had a girlfriend who used to do the Pomona 3-point turnabout. It was pretty cool.
That's very different.
All right. Let's try. We got time for one more. Who do you like?
I want Azriel. Is that how you say the name? Azriel? Hello?
Let's find out.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. How old are you?
10.
10.
Well, and that's why you failed your driving test.
No, it's because of my mom.
Your mom?
What happened?
She sideswiped a car.
On the driving test, your mom sideswiped a car?
Yeah.
Did you know why? Did she tell you why?
Well, it was parked, but I don't know why.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you won't drive with her, right? Because she's not safe.
Do not listen to us. Do not drive with your mom.
Okay.
You walk. You get out and you walk.
Yeah, right now. Do you feel safe?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for listening, Azriel. Thanks for calling, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Got a huge 8 o'clock hour coming up for you here on K-Rock, including your tickets to the sold-out 21 Pilots show at the Honda Center and the Bachelor Report with Ralph and Petrus coming up just after 8. First, though, like we do on Tuesdays that feel like Mondays, about this time we catch up with our good friend Andrew Siciliano, host of Up to the Minute on the NFL Network, Monday through Friday at 1. Andrew, how are you, my friend?
Happy Tuesday to you, I guess.
Happy Tuesday to you as well. So much to talk about from the divisional games this weekend, including nearly 50 million people watching that Packers-Cowboys game. That was astonishing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's nuts, actually. I had a friend just texting me about it from Major League Baseball. So the numbers, you know, ratings are screwy. And you could massage the numbers any way you want, but the average audience was 48 million, which was 8 million more than Game 7 Cubs-Indians and 18 million more than Game 7 Cavaliers Warriors.
Wow. So people love the football is what the takeaway is.
They love the football. Look, if you take into account the international ratings for, say, basketball, because it's such a huge international sport, maybe they get closer. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But, I mean, for all the talk, the ratings are down, and yes, the ratings are down. And yes, there are reasons, the election being most notably one of them. That number was massive.
Yeah, it really was.
Has there been a better playoff game than that in a long time?
That was amazing.
It was awesome.
And I want to say that the last 2 minutes of that game was the best 2 minutes of any football game ever. Am I wrong?
And it was awesome because, I don't know, the last best two minutes ever, that I don't know. But, I mean, it's got to be in the top 10 if you were to make that list.
And then Seattle in the Super Bowl in the final 2 minutes?
Yeah, all right, I don't think we need to get into that.
I'm saying, well, we're listing top 10 2 minutes.
Definitely great.
I mean, the end of the 86 AFC Championship game with John Elway's drive, which still gives me nightmares, is the darkest day of my childhood. when you compare the fact that the wild card weekend games were, let's just face it, not good. I think the average margin victory was like 18 points. Mm-hmm. And then the games on Saturday, Falcons-Seahawks started well, then turned into a one-sided game. Patriots-Texans started well, then turned into a one-sided game in the fourth quarter. So we needed that game.
This 2 minutes, by the way, besides the fact that all the scores, to tie the game and then take the lead and then take the lead and everything that went back and forth like that, so many crazy things happened. Timeout being called, trying to ice the kicker happened. Yep. He had to kick the thing twice. But he made it twice, yeah. Aaron Rodgers threw an interception inside of 2 minutes, remember, that ended up getting called back because there was a penalty. I mean, it was just one thing after another. Like, the drama was ratcheted up so much that I could barely stand it. I can't imagine what it was like for Packers and Cowboys fans to come down to that.
The Cowboys hit their field goal with 1:31, I believe.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Mason Crosby hit his 56-yarder to give the Packers the lead with 1:31 left. Dan Bailey hit his kick to tie the game with 35 left.
35 seconds left.
35. And then Aaron Rodgers actually said afterwards that they left him too much time. No, hey, Aaron, what were you thinking? Left too much time.
That's crazy.
And then they kicked it with no time left. And it wasn't going in. Come on, admit it. When it came off his foot the second time,
it was going left.
After they called timeout,
yeah.
It was absolutely either going left or right of the goalpost, and it wasn't going to make it. And it made it.
And it made it. And what about that? Who was the Jared Cook who caught that pass with 3 seconds left to get them within field goal range, and then immediately tumbled out with both feet in? I mean,
that catch was insane.
Can that be in the top 10 insane. Greatest catches of all time, Andrew?
Most meaningful and greatest catches, absolutely. And here's the thing about Jared Cook: he's a really nice guy, and he's been with the Rams for a bunch of years. He was a free agent initially from Tennessee. Jeff Fisher gave him a nice contract with the Rams. And he never really did anything with the Rams. Granted, their offense generally was not good, but he dropped so many passes over the years and so many easy balls, frustrating balls, momentum-killing balls where you just pound your head into the wall and say, as much as I like him, I mean, come on, you can't do that. And then he hits the free agent market. He's an athletic freak, and he just got this bargain basement, comparatively speaking, deal with the Packers. The Packers were criticized, their GM was, for not spending more in free agency and only going to get Jared Cook for $2 million. And then at the end, in his second playoff game, the week before had been his first career playoff game because he had been a Ram for his previous years. And
he made it count.
That's what he did.
He made it count. All right. Allie has been saying for a couple of weeks now that nobody beats the Packers. How are you feeling?
Wow. Atlanta's going to be tough. Atlanta's scoring 30 points a game at home. And you saw what that offense did last week against a good, albeit injured, Seattle defense. It's going to be a shootout. I think you have both teams averaging 30 points a game the last four. Or I think both teams have scored 30-plus in each of their last five.
Wow.
I'm going to look that up. So on paper, you hypothetically have a shootout. And right now the Packers' secondary is decimated with injuries. So That does not bode well for stopping Julio Jones, who, by the way, was limping in the fourth quarter on the sidelines. They say he is okay, but, I mean, on paper,
too close to call, it sounds like, for you, Andrew.
Well, look, both of these games are awesome, and I'm not trying to oversell the product to be a Sixth fan here, but both of these games on paper are awesome. Like you say, there's no way the Patriots are going to lose at home, but the Steelers showed they could play ball control last week in Kansas City. That's how you would hypothetically have to beat the Patriots in New England. And New England, I mean, I think Judy Batista, my colleague at NFL Network, said it great that they joylessly march towards championship. But she said this week the anxiety seemed legitimate because, you know, they actually, it was believable when they stood on the podium after winning by 18 and said, "We didn't play well." You're right, you didn't. You played Brock Osweiler and the Texans, who are inept offensively. And dropping balls in the end zone, and you really did play poorly offensively.
Now the Steelers, however, won their game with 6 field goals, and that's all the scoring. They've got to turn that up, or they don't have a chance against the Patriots. Right?
They have the offense to do it, and they have been doing it week in, week out. I know you guys love crazy stats that, you know.
Oh, you're famous for your crazy stats, Andrew.
Here's the one. So that was the first time in the history of the NFL playoffs that a team scored 2 or more touchdowns more than the opposition. Forget the field goals, obviously. But in other words, I have 2 touchdowns, you have 0, or I have 4 and you have 2.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time the team that had scored 2 or more touchdowns than the opposition had lost in 246 NFL playoffs. It had been 245-0 before the Steelers won with six field goals.
I don't know that that's still a real stat, though. I got to tell you.
It is, I mean, it's a real stat. If
I mean, it may exist, but I don't know that it's meaningful.
Yeah. That Elias came up with that one in their underwear, whoever Elias
is. Speak for just a moment, Andrew, if you wouldn't mind, just about, because there are some who are still steamed about the holding call at the near the end of that Steelers-Chiefs game. What happened there?
It was a good call.
It was the right call.
I mean, he held him. Listen, James Harrison is
38 years old.
He's 30. I don't know how he's still playing.
He held him, and he threw him down, and he fell on top of him. How is that questionable?
He had the speed, and he had the edge. So he got underneath a much bigger player, and Eric Fisher did what he had to do, which is get his left arm wrapped around his torso and keep him up, or keep him down, rather, push him down. It's a hold. It's a textbook hold. Andy Reid, the Chiefs coach, said that he hates to see it in a moment like that. He wants them to, quote-unquote, let them play. But it was a classic textbook hold.
So anyone who's complaining at this point is just sour that the Chiefs didn't have a chance to go for two and tie it.
Well, you can argue that you can argue, I totally drew a blank there, that if he hadn't held him,
they
would have hit Alex Smith.
Right.
And the ball wasn't coming out.
Maybe work on your time management, Andy. Right?
Yeah. Well, says the Patriots say,
just saying.
Put together a 32-minute drive in the fourth quarter last year and effectively killed their chances to win the game.
All right, so Packers-Falcons is 12:05 on Fox, and then Steelers-Patriots is 3:40 on CBS.
Yes, those are the final four. And if you want to get up really early tomorrow morning, NFL Network has what we call Championship Wednesday, where we do all the pressers as all four teams basically put everyone on the podium Super Bowl style a week early.
Right.
Oh. So we will have that on mañana, por la mañana.
Well, I love watching athletes talk, so I'll definitely tune in for that.
We will be shoveling the cliches tomorrow.
Up to the minute on the NFL Network at 1. Our friend Andrew Siciliano is the host, and of course, during the season of DirecTV's Red Zone channel as well. We love you, man. Thanks for coming on.
See you guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7 minutes till 8.
I didn't see The Bachelor last night, Ralph, but did I hear correctly that it does involve vomit?
Yeah, it was a little puke.
Come on. That's not what you want on a dating show.
Don't be so uptight.
But how does that happen on a dating show?
You'll find
out. There shouldn't be vomiting.
We'll talk about it in the next segment.
Ralph and Petra is coming up with the Bachelor Report like we do Tuesday mornings just after 8 o'clock in K-Rock. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I was a little bummed you guys didn't ask Andrew Siciliano what he thought of the Bone Zone.
The Bone Zone.
That's right, the Bone Zone.
The Bone Zone.
You got the Red Zone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For football, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, what about sex scenes on television that they can cut to live so you don't have to watch all the boring stuff? What about the Bone Zone?
Is this your new million-dollar idea?
No, Family Guy last night.
Oh, I'm sorry.
First of all, Rob Gronkowski moves into Peter Griffin's neighborhood.
Okay.
No good can come from that. But the boys are sitting around watching television at the Drunken Clam, and they're watching the Patriots, and it goes to a commercial. And Joe wants to turn on the Red Zone, watch Andrew Siciliano.
Right.
But Glenn Quagmire's got another idea.
Of course.
Hey, it's a commercial. Jerome, switch over to the Red Zone.
Screw that. I say we put on the Bone Zone.
What's that?
Oh, it's awesome. They show every sex scene on TV without all the boring dialogue and plot.
Okay, once again, nothing is happening on Homeland, but over on Masters of Sex, Lizzie Kaplan is hooked up to electrodes and getting it from a guy who sounds American, but probably isn't. Hey, we're going to split the screens now, because my producer's telling me on Game of Thrones, we got a malnourished albino plowing a girl in a tub as he names dragons. Oh, there's a Bone Zone alert for girls, which we'll ignore, because it's Gabby Hoffman Donald ducking it. Last time we went to that, we lost a lot of subscribers. We're keeping an eye on the Nick. We don't want to bring you dead boobs, but if they're alive, we'll get you over there.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need dead boobs. That was Matt Money Smith, by the way.
That
the
sounded like Matt Money Smith.
So,
wow.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Good times last
I wonder if Andrew knows about that yet. He has to, right?
I don't know.
Somebody has to have tipped him off.
I don't know.
Okay. That's hilarious.
That Family Guy's a pretty good program.
How about that?
I got to start watching that.
You should probably watch it on a weekly basis. You might hear a familiar voice every week. As someone you know.
Matt Money Smith.
Matt Money Smith is on every week.
Every episode.
He's terrific, yeah.
No, he's not. He's not on every. He's terrific, but he's not on every episode.
Oh.
Yeah. Earlier in that clip, I didn't want to play the whole thing, but you hear the play-by-play announcer for the Patriots game.
That's right, this guy.
Wow.
And also a priest that gets involved in some very bad business later on in the episode, but we don't need to get into that. Let's talk about the long weekend box office. People went to see the movies over the Martin Luther King Jr. weekend holiday. Hidden Figures, number one at the box office with $26 million. There's a sort of symmetry there, I think, don't you think?
Sure.
On Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, that story of African-American women who made a huge contribution to the space program. It was the number one movie at the box office. Pretty cool. $26 million. Sing was second with 19.2. La La Land came in at number three. Then Rogue One and The Bye Bye Man came in at number five. Monster Trucks was sixth. Patriots Day is seventh. Eight, Sleepless, in its debut, made $9.9 million. Underworld Blood Wars was ninth. And then Passengers came in at number 10. Will there be an eighth season of Game of Thrones? Speaking of malnourished albino guys in tubs naming dragons, this summer's seventh season will have just seven episodes.
That's not a season.
And apparently the hanging point for an eighth season is a dispute about how many episodes there will be in the final season. So HBO said everyone needs to relax. If you're afraid we're not going to do an eighth season, I assure you we're going to. It's just a matter of how many episodes will be involved, and we'll have to wait and see.
I have a dumb question about
Great.
Game of Thrones.
Good.
Are they past in the TV show where the books are?
I'm going to go with yes.
You think they are?
I say no.
I'm just wondering
I'm going to go with they're exactly at the same point as the books.
We're covered.
Yeah, we're covered. So there's your answer, Bean. Somewhere in there is your answer.
I'm just wondering, because, you know, like in the Walking Dead, you know, the comic book is a jumping off point, and they go off in lots of different directions and have gone past where they are. But on the Game of Thrones, I'm wondering if we're waiting for Oldie McOldster to finish that book before they have something to shoot. I'm wondering if that might be slowing down the process.
No, they've been working on the books already. Now the TV's leading the way.
Okay. Because he's been working on that book forever. I thought maybe that was kind of the holdup. All right, back to you.
Oldie McOldster, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. From the guy who wants to bone Betty White. Very funny how sometimes he's ageist, sometimes he's not. Funny that. Hey, this sounds awesome. We were just talking about Family Guy and great animated comedy. How about this one? The Cops, a new animated comedy picked up by TBS Cable Network, starring Louis C.K. and Albert Brooks.
Wow.
Right?
Interesting.
It'll be rolled out in 2018 because it takes a while to produce animation. So they're working on it now, and then we'll see it next year. They'll play a pair of LAPD cops who are trying their best to protect and serve, sometimes failing at both, they say about the show. So,
and that's something that Nazi Germany would have done and
no,
did do.
They did not do it, and it sounds great, and I'm looking forward to it.
I don't want that. I don't want that.
And how would you like to own Michael Keaton's Batman costume?
Yes, so much.
It's going up for auction. January 26th, the Nate D. Sanders auction has it up for grabs as well. As a Christopher Reeve Superman costume from the 1978 film. Opening bid for Superman's costume is $40,000. Opening bid for the Batsuit is only $35,000.
See? Ah, so it's affordable.
It's a bargain. Okay. So I say buy that and give it to me.
Wait, what?
Okay, thanks. Kevin said yes, he would. I heard him. You all right over there?
I'm good.
All right. Lunger. Today's celebrity birthdays. Remember Tombstone? Ah, oh, never mind. Calvin Harris is 33 years old today. Zooey Deschanel turns 37. Lil Jon is 46 years old today, as is Kid Rock. DJ Tiesto is 48. The Flutist, Michelle Obama, turns 53 years old today. Jim Carrey is 55. Steve Harvey is 60. Maury Povich is 78 years old today. And Betty White turns 95.
Yeah!
She's a bitch.
Right? Ain't that the truth? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
21 Pilots at the Honda Center. Tickets this hour, kids. First, though, it's time for the Bachelor Report.
It's time. We got the Big P and Gar, man. And they watch the Bachelor, so you don't have to, man. Girls drinking hallelujah. Woo! Girls crying hallelujah. Woo! Girls crazy hallelujah. Woo! The Bachelor Report, we're going to give it to you. The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to you. The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have
welcome in Ralph Garman's co-host for the segment. Every week at this time, our friend Petros Papadakis from the Petros Money Radio Show, AM 570, weekday afternoons. How are you, P?
What's popping with y'all? Good morning.
Have a good time last night. Enjoy the show.
You know, I did enjoy the show. I find these women this year, and maybe it's my own testosterone or something, but I find these women to be deeply attractive.
Yes, as a batch, it's the best ever, I think, P.
Well, they're idiots, and they're no longer as upwardly mobile as the people used to be.
I will not have you speak that way about my Vanessa, first of all.
What about my girl with the floaties from Tulsa, my wedding photographer with the forehead? She's undercover very attractive.
Floaties and a forehead.
She's undercover very attractive?
Well, when she gets older, her nose will turn up, and she'll look like Miss Piggy, like right. Like Debbie Reynolds at the end.
Right.
I'm sorry, I just watched that documentary, but she looks good right now, I'll tell you.
All right, so you got a good batch of
ladies. I want to get married in Tulsa just to meet her.
And then we got Corinne, and
she's Greek, Ralph. She's a Olympios is her maiden name, and she's a disgrace to the Greeks.
She is from Florida, and she helps her father run his company out of the back of a van or something. I'm not sure how it works. But this show is always hard to distill down into one segment because it's 2 hours of television.
Right.
But, Corinne, you could do a half an hour just on quotes from her. She is spectacular. She talks about Liz, the girl that Nick had sex with at the wedding previously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who's been kicked off.
She's been kicked off. Corinne talks about how she's upset because Liz had sex with Nick before she had a chance to have sex with Nick. So now she has a plan tonight at the cocktail party, and that plan is to strip naked, put on a trench coat, and have a can of whipped cream in the pocket.
Sounds like a solid plan.
Just out in the open.
Not being the least bit sort of sly about it. She's just going to go seduce Nick with a can of whipped cream. That's her plan.
I don't have a problem with Liz going home, especially now that I know that she had intercourse with Nick before me. So tonight, I'm going to do something to one-up anyone around me. I'm confident enough in myself to know, like, I have the it factor that guys really like. I definitely know how to turn on the sex charm.
She can turn on the sex charm.
She's confident.
She is confident enough to just be able to desperately want to sleep with anyone who will pay attention to her. She's just that confident.
That's how Florida is, and that hot water just flaked out there.
Yeah. Then they had the group date, P, where they got a chance to be backup dancers to the Backstreet Boys. How about that, huh?
I was right across the street from my work. That used to be where we would do the challenge, the Burbank Studios. That hit very close to home.
Wow.
If only you had a chance to backup dance for the Backstreet Boys.
They could have told us we were right across the street, but it looked as if they manufactured an entire concert.
They did, yes, to have the girls perform. Backstreet Boys show up at the mansion saying, here's the group date. You and Nick and seven of you are all going to be at a Backstreet Boys concert.
And they look okay, Ralph.
The Backstreet Boys?
They look pretty good, considering.
Yeah, considering, I guess, yeah. The girls seem to be happy. That's that much I know.
And they're all over Howie.
Yeah, Danielle L., she almost lost her mind.
Oh, my God! Backstreet Boys! Oh,
they were my favorite band. I love them so much.
I think Nick could have saved so much time if he used the Backstreet Boys. Any girl said they're my favorite band as a barometer, and you could cull the herd by about half, I think, last night.
One of these years, I think they should run out like Susie and the Banshees. Or something.
Right. The Plasmatics.
See what the reaction is.
Now, Corinne is upset because she can't dance, and she's afraid that she is not going to shine on this group date because of the other girls, including one professional NBA sideline girl, squad girl, whatever you call them, a couple other girls who have some background in dance. Corinne has no skill whatsoever as a background. She has the sex charm, but she doesn't have the dance charm.
That's got to kill her to not be the focus of attention for 1 minute.
Oh, it was murder on her.
She got very, very upset. Even though
it was like the Ottoman occupation of Greece in the 19th century.
It's a great reference.
That's a great reference.
I don't say she was upset, but she said it was the worst day of her life.
Oh, wow.
And if the worst day of your life is you can't really dance that well behind the Backstreet Boys, you need to have some more bad days to give you some perspective, I think. But here she is crying and then telling you why she's crying and why she's not crying.
I'm not a crybaby. Like, whenever the attention's not on me, I'm going to get upset. Like, no, that's not it.
Are you okay? I don't know. I just feel uncomfortable from last night still.
Yeah, it's exactly it, by the way. That's
100%.
100% why you're
now,
crying.
Let me ask you guys, because this is so Corinne-centric, this season of The Bachelor, are you guys enjoying it, eating it up, or are you a little frustrated that they're spending too much time on this one lady?
Sex charm.
Okay.
She's part of what makes the show brilliant, in my opinion.
It sucks. I mean, he's just this mumbly weirdo, and he uses this voice, this creepy pedophile voice, when he talks to women. Like, oh, yeah? What are you doing?
So what's going on? Hey, what's going on? How you feeling?
Yeah, it is a lot on the couch. But Corinne gets a chance after the date to talk to Nick about the whole whipped cream fiasco, because he wouldn't have sex with her. He wouldn't have sex with her in the trench coat and the whipped cream, and she got very upset about that, too. Man, I've never seen a woman so upset that a man wouldn't just have his way with her on the driveway of a mansion on top of a trench coat with some whipped cream. So she got it all sorted out, and she feels now that she and Nick are back on solid ground.
I'm really happy that I got to talk to him first, because I was worried about last night. And you know what? He didn't even really care. I'm confident in me and Nick together, and I really think I'm getting the rose. I made Corinne great again.
Make Corinne great again!
Come on, that's fantastic.
Right?
Okay.
Put it on a hat.
There's no way...
Micka!
There's no way she gets picked, though, right? I mean, she's a fun distraction for Nick, but there's no way he wants to settle down with a woman this needy, is there?
Well, it's pushed the other women to the edge, because she's so outwardly annoying, and she says things she should not. And because of that, they're all going to attack him for making out with her publicly like he does. But he can't help it. I mean, she goes and sticks her tongue down his throat like a squid.
She is aggressively sexual to the point where she got a bouncy house put in front of the house and then invited Nick into the bouncy house so she could jump on him and mount him.
And those things are not the place for sex.
They really aren't.
Petri dish for germs.
And the girls were very upset about all the mauling that was going on inside the bouncy house. But Vanessa, my beautiful, sweet Vanessa, who works with special ed kids and can speak like 9 different languages, she got the one-on-one date. It was very exciting. They got to go in one of those the G-Force planes, you know, the parabolic plane flights where you get to, where you get to go weightless. You have no gravity.
So cool.
That's so awesome. Cool. I did that once in Vegas. It's so much fun.
Sweet.
And they go up there, and they're just flying around, and they're kissing, and they're loving each other.
Oh, she deals with it so well. What a trooper now.
Yeah, and then she starts to vomit. That's when the vomit begins.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she starts puking, and they got to get puke bags, and there's retching, and there's throwing up. And...
I was supposed to lose my virginity on my prom night in 1995, and while there was a girl in her underwear knocking on a bathroom door,
oh no,
I was like Vanessa.
Making
love to the porcelain god.
Oh,
that's a sad story.
I was ready to go in the morning, but she wasn't as into it.
That's not a good story.
Then there was a track and field group date where Rachel tried to step on Astrid's hand. It was got very rude. Dominique was sent home. Vanessa got upset with Nick because of the bouncy house playground time with Corinne. It was a very tempestuous episode last night. No rose ceremony. That'll be held over until next week's episode. We'll finally get to see who went home.
Did you recognize the high school? I mean, that's what's important.
What's
the
important?
The high school they did the track and field thing at?
I did not, P.
Oh,
you want to tell
me? Guys.
What high school was that?
It's John Burroughs High School in Burbank, home of the Bulldogs. Or no. Home of the Indians.
Okay.
Go Indians.
Yeah, Burbank is the Bulldogs.
Okay.
Hey, is local stuff, guys.
All right. I'm on your side. The only thing I took away from last night is I just hope we get more original music from Josephine. Josephine is a nursing student who considers herself quite the singer-songwriter.
Okay.
She sang a ballad, original ballad to Nick last night about her feelings that was just God awful.
Oh, I thought they brought back Fiona Apple. That was, come on, Ralph, give her, come on.
Here's a little taste of the musical stylings of Josephine.
I am so happy today, yeah. I got to spend it with Nick. I got to spend it with Nick. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Come on
you
now.
You guys. Seriously.
Oh, it there is no depths of depravity that these women won't subject themselves to in order to find a husband.
She's flying to the East Coast to perform at the inauguration.
We're right. Happy to have her.
Ralph, your guess as to whether this young man is going to find love this season.
Of course he will.
He will. Okay.
This is his chance.
Right.
A runner-up no more.
Sure.
Nick Vial will find his wife at the end of this journey, and I will run. I'm happy to go along with it.
All right. P, we'll look for you on the radio this afternoon, AM 570 from 3 to 7 with your good friend Matt Money Smith. Thanks for coming on. This has been The Bachelor Report.
The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
All this week here on K-Rock, we are all about hooking you up with tickets to go see 21 Pilots at Honda Center. In fact, you can win them every hour from 9 a. to 9 p. That means we got a pair coming up in about half an hour or so. But we've got an additional pair for hardcore 21 Pilots fans, and we're going to give you a chance to win them right now at 1-800-520-1067. But, am I right, Kevin? You have to earn them.
Yeah, we're going to do Listeneroki. So you have to sing your favorite 21 Pilots song. And you have to really bring it. We're looking for entertainment factor here.
Yes, we are.
So you sing when we come back in about 10 minutes, and we'll give away a pair of tickets to the sold-out show for 21 Pilots.
1-800-520-1067 for 21 Pilots fans only, please. All right. Smoking, right?
Right. It's my New Year's resolution. I'm going to take it
You're
up.
You're going to start.
Yeah.
You've decided to start smoking, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look, a lot of countries have tried a lot of things to get people to smoke less because at this point, decades on, we pretty much know it's not good for you. And there's a lot of, you know, campaigns, advertising and whatnot, restrictions put into effect as to where you can smoke so it doesn't influence others. But now Russia is taking the lead on banning smoking outright.
I feel like 100% of people in Russia smoke.
I do feel like a lot of people smoke. I don't know why. I've never been there, but I get the impression that a lot of people smoke. Listen to this. A 2010 survey from the World Health Organization found that 12% of Russian 15-year-olds smoke daily.
Right.
So it sounds like they start young and they smoke. And maybe you smoke because it's just so damn cold. I don't know why. But anyway, they're going to ban cigarettes completely. And the way they're doing it is kind of interesting. They're saying you can no longer buy cigarettes legally, period, starting in 18 years. So what they're saying is if you're born like last year, you'll never grow up in a world where you can buy cigarettes legally. They're going to phase it out by just assuming that all the smokers are going to die out and then everybody else won't have ever been able to buy cigarettes, so nobody will smoke. That's the theory anyway.
Huh.
Which, I mean, I see what they're going for, but doesn't it seem like tobacco is one of those things that's pretty easy to counterfeit and pretty easy for people to smuggle in and there'll just be a huge black market with people who figure out a way to get smokes?
In Russia? How dare you?
I know it is hard to believe. It does sound like practically, it sounds like it's going to be a tough one to pull off, but we asked Dave if he could find someone who could give us some more information, and he has a politician from Russia joining us on the line right now. This is Nikolai Gerasimenko. Do I have that name right, sir?
Gerasimenko.
Gerasimenko, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time, sir.
I'm happy to be here.
So, did I sum it up correctly? No more cigarettes in 18 years.
That is plan, yes, of a Russian Federation is for 2015. You're born 2015. From that point on, no child will be smoking cigarettes by 2033.
Mm-hmm. And why are you taking such a drastic measure here rather than just restricting sales, say, to adults?
Because it is a problem in Russia with much people smoking,
mm-hmm.
and then, of course, then comes death.
Right,
and
death,
so
yes.
We're trying to make less death in Russia and more not dying.
Mm-hmm. You think maybe people die in Russia because they want to? Wait, are you Nikolai? Did you just light up a cigarette?
No, it's awful for you. It's a hideous, bad thing for anyone doing.
I thought I heard a lighter.
No. Where was I?
What did you just blow out?
Russia is great country. Everybody very happy.
We didn't ask if it was a great country.
And smoking is ridiculous to even having in Russia because it's unnecessary. There is no need to have something to do with your hands while you're waiting in line for bread or toilet paper.
Right.
There is no sadness or depression over dictatorial government.
Mm-hmm.
There is just a happy times. So don't smoke going to the park and fly a kite. I say.
It doesn't sound very convincing coming from you when it sounds like you also are smoking, Nikolai.
Well, here's the thing about smoking.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad for everyone for to be doing, and uh-huh. I say everyone must stop.
Right.
But like many things in Russia, we tell people one thing, we do another.
Oh, well, that's true, yes.
So regular people, I'm saying, don't smoke. Me, I'm saying, light up, Johnny. What do you got? So for everyone who is not in the Food Bureau, in politics, I say, do what we tell you, or Putin will wrestle a bear on your head.
Oh, that's
a very real threat.
That's a strange punishment.
Yeah, I hacked into a Putin joke site. It just did not pay off well for me. I'm sorry.
Here's the thing I'm going to say, hot take, about 21 Pilots, all right?
All right.
As good as their records are,
yes.
They're even better live. They're one of those bands who just brings it.
Yeah, way better.
Yeah, and that's why this show at the Honda Center is going to be amazing. February 15th and 16th, they're both sold out, but we're giving away tickets right now with a game that we like to call Listener-okie.
Listener-okie, listener-okie, that's the game we're going to play. Listener-okie, listener-okie, come and sing and don't be lame.
All right, so you call us at 1-800-520-1067, sing your favorite 21 Pilots song. Someone that wins tickets to the sold-out show. Why don't we start with Chris in Burbank, line 2, please, to get us going.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good.
All right. What song are you going to sing for us?
Tearing My Heart.
Here's Chris.
You ready?
Yep.
Okay. On and young, I say yo. No. Sometimes you got to bleed to know that you're alive and have a soul. But it takes someone to come around to show you how she's the tearing my heart.
Hey, Chris?
Yes?
You're calling to win Disturbed tickets? What's going on?
No.
All right, you hold on. You are technically in the drawing.
I mean, is he?
Technically.
Okay.
Let's go to line 3, Chino Hills. Let's see what Christina is talking about.
Hey, Christina.
Hi, how are you guys?
We are good, thank you. What song are you going to do from 21 Pilots?
Okay, so I'm going to do my favorite. It's The Judge.
The Judge. Okay, here's Christina.
Okay. Na 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 na, oh, oh. Na 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 na, oh, oh. When the leader of the bad guys sang something soft and soaked in pain, I heard an echo from a secret hideaway. He must have forgot to close his door.
Okay, all right. I'm going to say Christina can sing, you guys.
Right.
What do you think?
I like it. Hold on.
All right, thank you. Line 5, please, North Hollywood. Let's say hi to Adam, wanting to win those tickets for 21 Pilots.
Hey, Adam, what song are you going to do?
I'm doing Stressed Out.
Stressed Out. Here's Adam.
We used to play pretend and give each other different names. We would build that rocket ship and then we'd fly it far away. We used to dream of outer space, but now they're laughing at our face, saying, wake up, we need to make money.
Yo.
We can turn back time to the good old days when your mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Sandler on the phone. Adam Sandler calling us. You're ridiculous.
All right. Pretty strong.
Hang on. Thank you. Sabrina, Huntington Beach, line 6, please. Doing 21 Pilot songs. Sabrina, what do you have for us?
I have Fairly Local. I love the song.
Fairly Local.
Okay.
All right.
That's the thing about 21 Pilots, man. I mean, they know they have so many good songs. There's a few songs you hear on the radio, but their albums are deep, so I can't wait to hear this one.
Yo, this song will never be on the radio. Even if the click were to pick and the people were to vote, if you're the proud and the emotional, yo, you, bulletproof and black like a funeral roll. The world around us is burning, but we're so cold. If you're the proud and the emotional, yeah, I'm fairly local. I've been around. I've seen the streets you're walking down. I'm fairly local. Some tickets now. Please.
All right. Thank you, Sabrina. Right. I love it when white girls rap. Appreciate the call. Let's try Montebello.
Why
line 7.
Why she got to be white?
Well, she
you
just
don't know
was.
That.
Just clearly very.
You don't know.
Let's go to Freddie line 7. See what he wants to do for us.
Hey, Freddie.
Hey, what's going on? We're going to do Heathens. There's two of us here.
Oh, all right. Here's Freddie and someone else with Heathens.
Welcome to the room of people who have rooms of people that they loved one day. Docked away. Just because we check the guns at the door doesn't mean our brains will change from hand grenades.
You'll never know the psychopath sitting next to you. You'll never know the murder sitting next to you. You'll think how I get here sitting next to you.
But after all that said, please don't forget all my heathens.
All right. Thank you. Wow, it's like being in Hamilton, you guys. All right, one more. Let's make it Fullerton's Riley on line 8. He is our final contestant to try to win these tickets for the sold-out 21 Pilot show at Honda Center. Hey, Riley.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thanks. What are you going to sing?
I'm going to sing Ride.
All right. Listen, Rokey, for 21 Pilots, here's Riley.
Taking my time on my ride. I die for you, that's easy to say. We have a list of people that would take a bullet for them, a bullet for you, a bullet for everybody in this room. I don't see too many bullets coming through. Metaphorically, I'm the man, but hey, I don't know what I do. I did it for you. That's hard to do. It's even harder to say when you know it's not true.
Thank you.
Riley, had you heard the song? All right. Chris and Christina and Adam and Sabrina, I think, and Freddie and Riley got a lot of people in the drawing. Only one will win a pair of sold-out tickets for 21 Pilots at the Honda Center February 15th or 16th. Miss Ellen McKay, who's our winner, please?
Oh, winner is Adam.
Yeah. Adam.
Good things do happen to bad people.
Thanks for playing the game.
Listen to Rokey, listen to Rokey. Thanks for playing our game. Listen to Rokey, listen to Rokey. You suck, then we're lame.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
About this time every hour, Ralph Garman steps in with another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Quick update. I did cover this morning the fact that the Bruce Springsteen tribute band, the B Street Band, has withdrawn from the presidential inaugural gala. They will not be performing at the Garden State Presidential Inaugural Gala. They've said that this decision was based solely on respect and gratitude for Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, and given Bruce's feelings about President-elect Donald Trump, they want to respect those. So they have backed out. However, the good news is Tony Orlando is in. That's, I repeat, Tony Orlando is in.
He's still alive.
He is. And he'll be performing at the Salute to the Armed Forces and Services Ball at the National Building Museum, which is really the hot ticket. If you want to get into that, the National Building Museum.
I believe that our friend Ted Stryker went to see Tony Orlando in concert.
Over the weekend.
What? And was social mediaing about it, yes.
Well, of course. Why wouldn't you? Tony Orlando.
I also believe they're related.
Superstar.
What?
Are they?
Yes.
Like members of the same extended family? That kind of related?
So. This is shaky, right?
They're not related, no.
No.
They're not related.
Allie is the worst source of any sort of information about anything.
So he's best friends with his son.
Okay. Does he call him his uncle?
I mean...
Lies.
So Stryker went to Palm Springs to see Tony Orlando this weekend, and next weekend you're telling me Tony Orlando is going to be in D.C. performing for not the president, but people who are there because the president is being inaugurated.
Right.
Okay.
And let's not forget, he's also your co-star in Schmeckfest. Don't forget about Schmeckfest.
I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
You guys were celebrating Schmeckfest.
That's not a thing. That
and you were able to score Tony Orlando to come in and sing with you in a trio. Kevin and Bean and Tony Orlando singing the Schmeckfest theme.
I don't feel like I remember that happening.
It feels like it was just yesterday.
Gather around, boys and girls, and listen. You know that Schmeckfest is a special time each year. Kevin and Bean will be in Freeman, South Dakota, to meet those East German chicks and drink some beer. There'll be lots of screaming men and women and children. There will be sauerkraut and knockers. Did we mention beer?
Whoa, baby!
Thanks to our special new friend, Tony Orlando.
No problem.
For helping K-Rock celebrate Schmeckfest this year.
Schmeckfest!
You know, you don't have to bring that up every time Tony Orlando is in.
I'm just saying, you guys are gifted.
You're not required
gifted,
to mention that.
Gifted. Gifted performers and...
Well, that was a miscalculation.
You're a national treasure and we're all better for it.
That's what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
There's no statute of limitations. Wait, what's it called? The statute of limitations,
right.
Uh-huh. That runs out on something like our song with Schmeckfest?
Nope. No.
Oh.
It's like murder. There's no statute of limitations for murder.
I'm not sure that song's like murder.
It's very close to murder on many, many levels. Certainly killed funny, that's for sure. So, no, you'll always hear that.
Whenever. The only reason you brought that story up
is... Of course it is.
All right.
We get to hear Schmeckfest. How often do you get to hear Schmeckfest?
Well, once a year on Tony Orlando's birthday, usually.
And now, today. Right. So, you're welcome,
hey,
America.
Serious question here about the acts playing the inauguration. Are Kid Rock and Ted Nugent there? Because they were early on, you know, holding rallies and performing and whatnot. But I have not seen them in any of the lists of people who are going to be playing this weekend.
Nor have I.
They are hardcore Donald Trump supporters.
Okay.
I'm very surprised that neither of them are on the lineup.
I don't feel like you're helping.
As am I. Hey, this sucks. Imagine you're Jessica Alba for a moment.
Okay, I'm Jessica Alba.
If I am, I'm taking all my clothes off and finding a full-length mirror. But secondly, secondly, God. If I was Jessica, if I suddenly turned into Jessica Alba,
yeah,
that's what I'm doing.
Probably wouldn't leave the house for a bit.
Right, exactly. But imagine you're Jessica Alba, and you got the shock of your life when a Los Angeles Police Department officer asked to... come and have a conversation with you while you're walking into a friend's house. You're going to visit a friend, and a cop pulls over and says, "Excuse me, miss, we need to have a conversation." You get nervous, right? I don't care who you are. You're Jessica Alba, you get nervous. Well, she was happy to find out that she wasn't in trouble, but she was surprised to see that Officer Alvarez had a tattoo of her face on his arm.
Oh, creepy.
All right.
Jessica revealed on Instagram, as she posted the picture, it was one of the most surreal moments of her life. And yet she added, so cool and such a trip to meet a police officer who had her face tattooed on his arm.
Thank you. I'm just trying to get away from that guy's boner.
Right? Allie, would you consider it a compliment if you met a fan who had you tattooed onto his arm?
I'd say, oh, that's pretty cool, but if he had a way to access my information, I'd be a little nervous.
Oh, here's a walk down conspiracy alley.
No, I'm just saying, if he had my license in his hand and saw my address.
So he can't just be a fan now, he has to be
a stalker. He's a police officer.
I know, it's a little...
He's sworn to protect and serve you.
Serve you? You know what I'm saying?
No,
I don't either. Not sure. But if you say it like this...
Maybe we need a phone-in topic of people's faces that you have tattooed on your body. Whose face is tattooed on you?
I like it.
Whose face is on you?
I like it.
What are you saying?
Face on
face
you.
Face on you. Okay.
Who?
We have that listener with the Rodney Bingenheimer tattoo.
Yeah, you do. There's somebody with a Ralph Garman tattoo out there.
No.
No, sir.
No.
Yes.
Why have we never heard about this before?
Several.
Are you kidding?
Yes. There's several people with Ralph.
How did you feel about that, Ralph? Did you know ahead of time he was going to do it?
I thought it was hilarious.
That's
but you tried. You tried to talk him out of it, right?
Of course, yes. But when I saw it, it was hilarious.
Oh, and you have a picture of it?
And I said, "Bad, bad choice on your part."
You were making bad decisions.
One of me screaming, "Damn you, Sharktopus!" is one of the faces. There's another face from Babylon. It's a couple other faces out there.
Is there any of you as the pirate?
Pirate Jack? No, Pirate Jack has not yet been
right,
captured,
get that.
Captured in flesh.
I'm
You're going to get that,
yeah,
one?
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea.
I'm get that one.
Yeah.
I have, you know, I'm on a lot of the Weird Al fan art sites, and there's a lot of people with Weird Al face tattoos. A lot of them.
You know,
there.
My boy, Kevin Smith, is maybe the king in
is
terms
right?
of people getting his face tattooed on their body. I cannot tell you how many Kevin Smith and Silent Bob, especially tattoos, I've seen on people.
Interesting. How about that? That's a great phone topic. Let's do that tomorrow.
Okay. And let's take a call from someone who's going to get Kevin and Bean on their body, one on each ass cheek, and then we will pay for it. We'll have an artist come in, and we'll put Kevin on one ass cheek and Bean on the other ass cheek.
We should Facebook Live that.
I think we should, yes.
Chip?
Nope.
And then have them shaking hands, and then right there in the middle.
Nope.
You're holding a donut.
Nope.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Never heard it referred to as a donut.
Calvin Harris is 33 years old today. Zooey Deschanel turns 37. Lil Jon is 46, as is Kid Rock. Just talking about Kid Rock. DJ Tiesto's 48. The First Lady, Michelle Obama, turns 53 today. Jim Carrey's 55. Steve Harvey is 60. Maury Povich. Nope, Povich. TV show host is 78. And actress legend Betty White celebrates her, her 95th birthday today. That's crazy. Good for her. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:40. Time for one more showbiz beat with Ralph Garman. What's going on, Ralph?
We were just talking in the other room about producer Dave, King of Mexico, who's an awful driver. And someone said to him, how many accidents do you have total? And he said, none on record. That's not a good defense to that question,
no,
right?
It's not
meaning
at all.
I got away with it?
That's not a good sign.
Yeah, meaning he left.
He's had a ton of accidents, but either he hit and ran, or he was able to settle it without the insurance getting involved.
Yeah, it doesn't make it go away.
But it doesn't mean you didn't have an accident.
I'm just rad.
No, you're not. Don't use your windshield wipers in the rain.
What's up?
Don't need them because the wind takes the water away.
I had a long argument about this in the office the other day because I tried it when it was raining so hard last Thursday, I want to say. It's not possible.
No.
It isn't possible to drive without your windshield wipers
because
when it's raining hard.
As the water is wicked away by the speed of your car, more raindrops are replacing it immediately, so it impairs your vision.
But when,
hence the invention of windshield wipers, right, which have been a necessary part of the automotive community for, I don't know, 100 years?
So I would say you just can't see because I had tried it the day before, and Dave would go, nuh-uh, you can see.
Wrong.
How do you argue with that?
Wrong.
Wrong.
It's nice that you tried, though.
I mean,
Kevin likes to investigate on his own.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Thank you, Ralph.
I'm not sure if you really need windshield wipers or not, so I'm gonna investigate.
I'm somewhat of a scientist.
You are.
Not my fault.
I don't even know if you need tires, but I'm going to take the tires off the car and see how driving far I do. All right, everyone relax. Lindsay Lohan hasn't converted to Islam, okay?
Were we worried about
all as well? Please calm down.
Okay.
That was a big story today.
Hmm.
Because here's what happened. On Saturday, she deleted all of her Instagram and Twitter posts and then simply placed Aleikum Salam in both of her social media accounts, which, by the way, is usually Assalamu Alaikum. So she got that much wrong. So that's why I don't think she's converted to Islam. But it means literally a peace to you. And so that shocked her millions of followers and fans, saying that she has converted to Islam. But apparently her reps are saying it's not the case. She's simply gone on a social media break. She's taken some time and she wants to be left alone, but she is wishing peace to all of her listeners and her followers and her viewers and her fans. So there you go.
Is she doing anything else with her life besides being on Instagram?
She's in Dubai, I think, and Turkey. She owns a disco, I think, someplace in Turkey. I think she's doing that.
Is that true?
Yes, she owns a nightclub.
All right.
You know, if you want to party, you go to Turkey.
Sure.
Right? We all know that.
Heard that.
It's good times. Over the long holiday weekend, a lot of people went to the movies. Let's see what they went to see. Hidden Figures was the number one film over the Martin Luther King weekend. $26 million it made it number one. Sing was two. La La Land was third. Rogue One came in at number four. The Bye Bye Man debuted with $15.3 million, made it number five. Don't think about it, don't say it. Don't think about it, don't say it. Don't think about it, don't say it. If you can tell me that, I'm going to think about it automatically.
Yeah. And then say it.
And then I'm going to say it. Mm-hmm. Monster Trucks was sixth. Patriots Day, Sleepless, Underworld, and Passengers were your top 10 films.
How was that Patriots Day, Allie?
It was real sad.
Did everyone have chowder? Just wondering. Why you look at me all mad, bro? Indiana Jones producer Frank Marshall says there are no plans to have Harrison Ford die in the next installment of the film. You know, the latest theory is that Harrison Ford is going to make one more film of all his famous films just to kill off all his characters.
Okay.
Because he likes doing that. Because, spoiler alert, one of his recent films involved the death of one of his most famous characters. So now people are saying, oh, this new Indiana Jones film, apparently they're going to kill off Indiana Jones, and then a younger man will step in and take on the mantle. And Frank Marshall said, that's not the case. Indiana Jones will not die in the next installment of the film. So at 74, Indiana Jones will still be as vital and as exciting as ever. When he finds the Lost Ark and then forgot why he came into the room in the first place with the turnaround. Anyway, you know, I left my whip in the car. Let's forget the stuff. And you guys, you know that Sherlock, right? Benedict Cumberbatch over there on the BBC?
Love it. Love yeah. that. Love that Sherlock.
Big controversy over the weekend. A Russian language version of the episode was illegally uploaded to the internet ahead of transmission from England. A leaked version of the finale, the Russian-owned version, was put online.
Right.
What is it with those Russians and the hacking and the thing and the leaking? Leaking Russians.
The Russians are leaking.
They are leaking. Some more than others, if you believe some reports. So the BBC is very upset, saying that their Sherlock finale was leaked online before they were able to air it on BBC One. But, however, they were able to tell fans, please keep it spoiler-free. Let's not let anyone else know what's going on. And it also helped that it was the Russian language version. So not a lot of people, I think, were understanding what was happening. But
when Sherlock gets shot in the head.
Oh, come on! What? Kevin, spoilers!
What?
Oh. Jeez.
And Green Day, of course, has its new Revolution Radio album out. New single, Troubled Times. It's crushing it. Great song. They just dropped their video for that new single over the weekend. I don't know if you've seen it yet. It is a lyric video, but also has some amazing images of Martin Luther King Jr., appropriately, this past weekend. And Donald Trump is treated very favorably, surprisingly. I would think Billy Joe is not a big fan of Trump. Oh, wait a minute. He has his head on fire for most of the video, if that means anything. If you're not familiar, here's a little taste from the new single, Troubled Times.
What part of history we learn when it's repeated? Some things we'll never overcome. If we don't seek it, the world stops turning. Paradise burning. So don't think twice. You live in troubled times.
It's a good tune.
It's a good tune.
And lastly, music news. This breaks my heart. Not only is Posh Spice, Victoria Beckham, not planning to take part in the Spice Girls reunion, but she doesn't want the other girls to do it either. The Sun newspaper in the UK says she's filed a lawsuit to block Mel B, Emma Bunton, Baby, and Jerry, Ginger, from going on the road to perform the group's hits and from recording any new songs under the Spice Girls name. How dare you! Posh! So, I guess this is going to court. See if the girls can keep performing as the Spice Girls or not. What does she care? She doesn't want to do it. Why does she care if the other girls do?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why she got to be like that?
Don't know.
It's probably your stinking husband doing it.
You should sue them so that they can't do that. They can't go on the road and do any more songs without you, Victoria. Ow, my ankle!
You anticipate he gets hurt a lot just around the house, Ralph?
Oh, yeah. You know he does. He flops down. Oh,
I can't vacuum. I can't use the Hoover, Victoria, because I'm all crippled because of my injury. I just sit here on the couch.
I would watch that show.
Today's celebrity birthdays. I apologize. I didn't know. I had no idea, because I count on Dave, the King of Mexico, to give me my birthdays.
Shouldn't do that.
I count on him to give me the right information. And it turns out all morning long, we were neglecting the fact that it was James Earl Jones' birthday today.
James Earl Jones.
So, much love to J-E-J.
How old is Mr. Jones? He's got to be close to 90.
He is close to 90.
I've heard a guy say that.
I don't have his age here. I just have the information that it was his birthday.
Dave's really coming through.
Allie, what do you say? Can you punch that up for me real quick?
Not my fault.
Putting it into the machine. He is 86.
86 years old today.
Looks James great.
He does look great. He's a handsome, handsome man.
Would
he's,
you?
He's still the voice of that Darth Vader fella.
Sure is.
Calvin Harris turns 33. Zooey Deschanel is 37. Kid Rock and Lil Jon both turned 46 today. DJ Tiesto is 48. The First Lady of the United States of America, Michelle Obama, is 53 today. Jim Carrey's 55. Steve Harvey's 60. Maury Povich turns 78. And Betty White, actress Betty White, is 95 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Rodney hates her.
He does. Hey, to drive home today, listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show, we have fighter Chael Sonnen in, who's also on The Celebrity Apprentice. We have Adam Carolla on the program.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday, so we have the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, and we've got your tickets for 21 Pilots at the Honda Center.